they kill in large numbers and to the sound of trumpets. Success often justifies terrible deeds, but in the past, before human rights became essential, crimes were overlooked if they formed a part of great conquests. Hence the presence in this book of the likes of Alexander the Great, Tamerlane, Ramesses II, and Julius Caesar. As Churchill reflected, history is written by the victors, and one might add that the cleverest of the tyrants died in their beds, revered by posterity. The political and artistic genius of even the most admirable of these characters requires ambition, insensitivity, egocentricity, ruthlessness, even madness, as much as it demands decency, skills, empathy, and heroism. Reasonable people, said George Bernard Shaw, adapt themselves to the world. Unreasonable people adapt the world to themselves. Therefore, change is only possible through unreasonable people. Greatness needs courage, above all, and willpower, charisma, intelligence, and creativity. But it also demands characteristics that we often associate with the least admirable people: reckless risk-taking, brutal determination, sexual thrill-seeking, brazen showmanship, obsession close to fixation, and something approaching insanity. In other words, the gap between evil and goodness is a thin one. The qualities required for greatness and wickedness, for heroism and monstrosity, for brilliant, decent philanthropy, and brutal dystopian murderousness are not too far distant from each other. The Norwegians alone have a word for this: Stormen's galskap, the madness of great men. In the last half century, many history teachers seem to enjoy making history as boring as possible, reducing it to the dreariness of mortality rates, tons of coal consumed per household, and other economic statistics. But the study of any period in detail shows that the influence of character on events is paramount, whether we are looking at the autocrats of the ancient world or the modern democratic politicians of our own day. In the 21st century, no one who looks at world history after 9/11 would now claim that the character of US President George W. Bush was not decisive in its contribution to the decision to order the catastrophic invasion of Iraq. The erratic presidency of Donald J. Trump and the imperial autocracies of Russia and China demonstrate that even today, personalities have the ability to create and to warp their nations and the wider world. Therefore, we must study them. Plutarch, the inventor of biographical history, puts this best in his introduction to his portraits of Alexander and Caesar. "It is not histories I am writing, but lives. And in the most glorious deeds, there is not always an indication of virtue, of vice. Indeed, a small thing like a phrase or a jest often makes a greater revelation of a character than battles where thousands die." Simon Sebag Montefiore. Ramesses the Great, circa 1302 to 1213 BC. "His Majesty slaughtered them all. They fell before his horse, and His Majesty was alone, none with him." Inscription on the temple walls of Luxor. Ramesses II was the most magnificent of the Egyptian pharaohs, and his long reign, over 60 years, saw both military successes and some of the most impressive building projects of the ancient world. He subdued the Hittites and the Libyans, and he led Egypt into a period of creative prosperity. But he was probably the villain of the Exodus. Some of the greatest wonders of the ancient world owe their existence to Ramesses. He typifies the old-fashioned hero king, admired for his conquests and monumental works, often won and built at a terrible human cost. His reign marks the high point of the Egypt of the pharaohs, in terms of both imperial power and artistic output. During the reign of Ramesses' father, Seti I, Egypt had been involved in struggles for control over Palestine and Syria with the Hittites of Anatolia, what is now modern Turkey. Despite some initial success, when Ramesses inherited the throne in 1279 BC, Hittite power extended as far south